your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the total lack of accountability for the nuclear industry and consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. Every voice matters. The Age of Fission radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Put your courage feet on and take action. Listen to that inner self and take action. Every positive action you take moves us forward. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thanks for joining us. This is a pre-recorded interview with Mr. Chuck Ocelli, who I heard on Barry Prince Friday after his stimulating conversation. I sent him a Skype and said, hey, I'd really love to talk to you about some ideas. He made a comment on the show about women and feminism that kind of piqued my interest. So without further ado, let me just introduce you to Chuck. Thanks. Thank you, Chuck, for joining us.
Oh, you know, good morning, even though it's not morning when we're recording this, but good morning to the listeners. and it's a pleasure to be on with you, Lonnie. Appreciate your base of knowledge and your ability to present it and your open mind. So with that in mind, I'm looking very forward to this conversation. Thanks.
Sure. Well, it is actually Sunday, September 3rd. It's 6 o'clock in the evening here on the West Coast, and it's 9 o'clock at Chuck's time. That's to accommodate his baby who had to go to sleep. Makes things a little bit easier. I wanted to talk to him. He made a comment about the feminism and things like that, but I have been having this thing brew. You know, the topic of my show is covering the nuclear pollution, the lies, the secrets, having the victims come on, having advocates, people who are working in the feel to just heal the earth and expose the lies, basically. And for a little while now, I've been really pondering after I watched this movie. I watched it several years. I've probably watched it five or six times now. It's called Tough Guys, T-O-U-G-H-G-U-I-S-E, Tough Guys. It's a documentary about how did we get here? How is it that we have this violent, misogynistic society that we live in? And it was not by accident. Edward Bernays basically designed it. They controlled people. And I've been thinking that, like with the women's liberation movement that happened in the 60s, women burned their bras. They were like, we want equal rights. And we still actually, frankly, don't have equal rights. Even this week, Donald Trump rolled back Obama's rule of equal pay for equal women, and the need to oversight to like disclose who's getting paid what so you can figure it out instead of just assuming everybody's getting paid right. They made a law that said you have to tell us, you have to look at your books once a year and make sure it's equal. That got wiped away this week. So we still don't have equal pay, equal rights in lots of instances. But men are so oppressed. When they squashed the women's movement, they didn't do it to oppress the women because they knew that the women were going to be, you know, once the cat's out of the bag, you're not putting them back in. But the men started getting free, and that's where they really drew the line. And I think men are, not that I am an apologist for the batterers of the world, but I think that there's a reason that they're batterers because they're so insecure, they need to control everything. And that's because there's all this undue pressure of women have this idea of what it is to be perfect, but men have such pressure to be the provider, to be the protector, the everything, you know. So I think that they squash the women's movement to squash the man's movement.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you that from my perspective, my personal perspective, having, you know, just been born at the very beginning of the 1970s, it is not exactly that way. I mean, I find it interesting that this is what, you know, how you perceive this. And I want to know a couple of things before we go any further. Okay. One is, you know, do you think that there has been an increase in misogynistic behaviors in the past recent time? I mean, do you think it's only the past couple of decades that we've seen this? Or
no, I think it's only been being talked about. See, this is my thing. I think the misogyny was hyper, like hyper-masculinity was created like the hyper-misogyny. It's part of the programming, the advertising world, the manipulation to oppress people. So they're easily manipulated because oppressed people, unhappy people, are much easier to manipulate when people are unhappy. So, and I think that's part, and I think men have had a tight control for a friggin' seriously long time. Like, the issue with women 100 years ago, if a woman got raped, it was not about her sense of dignity and her right to have her own body. It was about you were tainted goods and your brother-in-law or your uncle or whoever it was that you belonged to couldn't sell you off in marriage enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was, and in fact, that's how it was treated in court. The perpetrator usually had to pay money to the uncle or to the father or to the brother, whoever it was that was legally bound to. So that was only like 100, 150 years ago here in the United States.
Well, see, in order to snap that into perspective, we also have to consider that really women's liberation begins with what? The tampon, effectively. Because
no, birth control, not the tampon.
Well, no, the tampon comes long before the birth control, because without a tampon, without the ability to control that, you had certain times of the month where women did not come out of their homes at all. So let's remember that. Yes, women were certainly viewed as chattel-like at one point. This is a historic reality.
I'm going to say they still are. This is why it is not. We do not talk about battered wives or battered spouses or battered children. The secrecy, this is what I was thinking about, the nuclear thing. This whole secret society that we have going on, that everybody is like nails on a chalkboard. We can see it on the writing. Depending on which corner of the room you want to look at, you're going to see a different aspect of it. It's an ugly place of secret society. Hanford was a secret city. Up there, nobody talks about nuclear. They're having babies with half brains born, and the midwives up there saying, no, it's not caused by the nuclear pollution up here. Of course not.
Well, see, now, let me just continue on with what it is I was explaining, because it's going to wind up locking in with part of what you're saying, but I want you to consider something here. You know, the people that say that women's liberation begins with birth control, well, does it, in fact, begin there? Like I said, if you think about it, there were other things that came into play before that. And here we go. Why is this happening? Why is there this seeming argument? Why is there the secrecy? Why is there the need for abuse and the promotion of domination one over another, and the need for competition between you know, the sexes, the races, etc.? Why does this go on? It's because so long as we are locked in this type of competition with one another, and we are kept at each other's throats, and we are kept vying for some sort of position in society, guess what happens? We're not busy keeping track of those that are really controlling the game. And here we go. As far as I'm concerned, when we look at the women's liberation movement, I don't think it was liberating at all. I think it was actually extremely destructive, because it disconnected, feminine, really feminine characteristics, natural feminine characteristics, from feminine people.
I am cracking up at you. I am not getting that. You really believe that? You think it was destructive?
I absolutely do, and
well,
I think
this
it was
is
destructive.
What I say.
But Lonnie, let me get there. Okay. I use the women's movement because you brought it up first, but what I'm telling you is that this absolutely disconnected the males from their natural capabilities, from their natural, you know, listen, I'm not going to get into an argument about God, but let's just say by virtue of our creation, by virtue of the fact that we do have a particular nature, there is a difference between the nature of men and women, and we are, in fact, men and women. The bottom line is that they have absolutely transferred all of these realities and all of the natural instinctive gifts that were there into something else. Now, I'll give you the convoluted end of the male side. You're talking about hypermasculinity and all that. It's mostly false. It's false tribalism. It's false masculinity. It's a matter of being pumped up. Listen, I'm this kind of guy because I'm a fan of a particular sports team. You know, what kind of idiocy is that? That's an identifying marker? No, it's not. The strength of your character, your ability to do the right thing by those that you have intertwined your life with is exactly your job. It's not about these things. It's not about, you know, the surrogate, you know, fist pumping that goes on like that. It's not about possession, because possession is a fleeting thing. You know, how many, I got good cars, I got a good looking wife, I've got a big house. Really, that's what defines your masculinity? I don't think so. I think that all these things were put into place exactly like you said, with the Bernays programs, with the more refined programs that emerged later.
Exactly.
Right? You know, commercialism.
The refined, they kept going. It's not like they applied that one thing. They're like, oh, yeah, this works. And they got it fine-tuned. I mean, we are like little beep, beep. You know what occurred to me? This is what we're talking about. When you say it was destructive to women, because women did the same thing. Women were expected to objectify themselves, objectify everything, and men were expected to objectify themselves and other women. When we don't, I heard this actually from a priest talking about this. This idea about objectification, that's what lust is. Our behavior in our anger, all of this stuff, it's all about not objectifying each other. Live a chaste life where you live in harmony without objectifying. People are and they're not the means. You know what I mean?
Well, right.
When he said that, it like clicked in. It made me think about this conversation because you were correct about the hyper-masculinity, all this tough guy stuff. But it's the same offense with the feminist movement. That's why, like, I never called myself a feminist, because some of that is like, I don't want to identify with that.
Well, let me bounce back and forth. I'm trying to be fair, right? I'm not. So I haven't been fair just yet. So I'm still in the process of doing it. How about that? But the thing is that when we see the hyperfeminization, okay, which is also false, all right? The fact that you can run around and you can flash any part of your body doesn't make you any more feminine or less. It's just, you know what I'm saying? All of these things and all these perceptions
or
have been absolutely twisted.
Up head to toe.
Putting
on a cover over your face doesn't make you any more feminine either. So it's really, it's what you want to do, what your values have you do. That's the correct way to go.
Well, right. And curious thing, by the way, speaking of values, and I love doing this because it's just so offensive to so many people. But, you know, realistically, if you look in the Old Testament, what was the uniform of a prostitute? Well, you know what? She was actually covered from head to toe and you couldn't see her face.
Really?
Yeah, take a look at the Old Testament stories. If you remember, one of Israel's sons goes to a prostitute who ends up being, you know, his daughter that needed to be inseminated by him in order to be part of the tribe.
Yeah.
Well, what was she wearing? Take a look at the description. She's covered from head to toe. This is why he doesn't recognize her when she takes his staff away. All right? So let's keep that in mind as we go forward. This is all so warped at this point that it's very hard to decouple this false value system which has been applied to the masculine and feminine alleged traits. And what's happened, in my estimation, here we go, I'm going to use some harsh language and you're probably going to cut me off, but it's not unfriendly to broadcast, it's just harsh because it's just a nasty thought.
I'd rather you don't cuss, because I did mention that we do have an affiliate here.
No. I don't cuss on the air. I do not cuss on the air.
Well,
I'm
free to say what you want. We can handle harshness because it's a discussion. That's what this is for.
Good. But I'm just warning the listener that it's going to sound harsh. But I have literally done a show where I've explained that, to me, under the given socially acceptable way people conduct themselves, that identifying 95% of women in their conduct as prostitutes is not unfair. Identifying men in three simple categories, which is either a customer of said prostitute, a pimp of said prostitute, or maybe, just maybe, the victim aftermath. All right, this is the nicest way I can put it. This is the categories that I see things in, because everything is reduced to this financial.
How is it that a woman is a prostitute to a man? Explain that to me. Because she's having sex with him for money.
If you don't cut me off, I'll show you. Everything is a financial transaction. It all comes down to that. Nobody gets married without the financial transaction. Nobody gets married without a license. Why do you need a license in order to conduct business? Okay? That's what the truth is when you're talking about getting married anymore. That's what the truth is in all of these interesting, you know, relationships that come and go and fall apart, and nobody seeks to maintain them in any way, shape, or form, because they're no longer profitable or economically viable. This is what the difficulty is, and this is part of the root problem. Again, why? Because the value system, actually valuing the other side of the equation, because here it is. Just because, you know, you're thinking to yourself, maybe because I said prostitute, that means that the woman is of lesser value. Actually, no. She actually has the commodity, apparently, that drives the financial transaction.
I must stop you.
So
I cannot.
Of course.
I at least have to interject.
Yep. No, listen, I use that word specifically to upset people.
So to say that it's a negotiation, I never had boyfriends support me and give me money. That's a fallacy. And when people are in marriage, I disagree with that. That's the point. You're objectifying your wife if you think she's a prostitute. It's not about when you're in a marriage, you want to have sex with each other because you hold that dear. You keep between yourself. That's
I didn't
not
say anything about sex. I didn't say anything about sex, and I didn't say anything about children.
Well, what is a prostitute then?
Okay, a prostitute is someone who can be hired to conduct certain activities, okay, based on a financial agreement that would normally be relegated to the emotional realm. See, this is what I'm talking about. Now,
are you telling me that prostitutes, you are saying that prostitutes take the place of what should normally, I'm kind of confused here, what you're saying about prostitution. This really threw me through a loop. So
Because you're taking offense to the word, here's the thing. Okay, not child care, didn't say child care, didn't even say sex. What I'm stating is that every relationship, you hear the word relationship, is based on a financial transaction. Now, I said 95%. I'm being extremely fair. The truth is that this is the way things are actually conducted, all right? And this has been what I've witnessed. There is no way that, and I've gone through this, there is this given understanding where, okay, I'll give you examples. You said, well, okay, no boyfriend, no man ever supported you. Okay, fine. That's fine. That's great. You might be part of that 5%, first of all. But secondly, it doesn't mean that they have to support your entire lifestyle. I didn't say that they bought a live-in prostitute. I did say that that somebody is being held for a time. Okay, and here we go. Everything is a contract. All right? Everything is a contract, and the third party in that contract is usually the state, which is why they get fees and, you know, collect taxes on everything all the way through. But what do we call children? We call them the product of the marriage. That's an interesting term, is it not? Literally, take a look in any legal divorce. You'll find who is a product of the marriage. They are your children. Okay. Anyway, back to it. So you throw me all off when I'm trying to go through this. What my problem is that we've decoupled the natural the natural give and take here, you know, from these other things by introducing all these other constructs. Now, once those are in place, you can then warp them any which way you want. Yeah, it's liberating to not become pregnant through a sexual activity, and that was what you were talking about with birth control. But did it also not create a less stable family environment? Did we not have that result from it as well? Much, much higher rates of divorce. Am I saying that that was due to birth control? No. But what I am saying is that that in conjunction with a whole lot of sociological programming, okay, that has come into play here where you don't need, you don't require, and you don't want even to have that longer lasting relationship. You don't want necessarily to raise your children together. You certainly don't want to involve the community in raising your children in any way, shape, or form, even though most people that cry for the old days talk about how I couldn't go anywhere. My parents would know what I did because other adults in the neighborhood knew what I was doing too. You know, nobody wants any of that any longer, but they still want all the comforts of it, right? And then they decry how the family unit has been destroyed. Well, the family unit cannot possibly exist if men and women don't have their natural identifying markers in place, see? And that's what's gone on here. Now, you might think that what I'm saying is that, okay, the men are supposed to be the hunter-gatherers and the women are supposed to be the homesteaders.
Go ahead.
Because I think you don't follow what I'm saying.
I follow it, but I'm letting you talk. Go ahead.
Well, it's not that. It's just that there are natural gifts here that, quite honestly, it's almost impossible to codify any longer. You know, women are much better at certain things than men are, and vice versa. I don't like to see female firemen, except in very strange cases, you know?
I don't mind them standing by the truck being, but you know what? Like, unless they are 6'2", no thanks.
Well, because it requires that upper body strength.
Exactly.
That, you know, and there you go. You know what else? I also don't really enjoy seeing, there's guys that are good at it, but honestly, healthcare people, I like women in that position. Oh, absolutely.
And it will balance itself out. We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
No. But what I'm saying is that the reason for this is the natural gifts that are there.
Like, okay? You know what the definition of a prostitute is? Honestly, you really did shock me saying that. Because okay. I think you are the definition, the practice or occupation of engaging in sexual activity with someone for payment. So you need either a different analogy or figure out what you're trying to say on that one.
Okay, you need a better dictionary, because I'm going to tell you right now that people that, you know, participate in sadomasochistic activity is not necessarily sexual,
okay.
But
an
you are being paid for
an
act.
Corrupt use of one's talent for the sake of personal gain or financial gain.
Boom, there you go.
You think that that's what girls do, is they just use guys, and that's what guys do, they just use girls? Because I've been used. I actually can say that that happened to me.
Oh, yeah, I think that both roles have been absolutely...
You want to hear about the immigration? Maybe I am the 5%. I've never had a man really help me. And the men that I've gotten involved with, pretty much I supported them. they felt like dead weight. They could not... I mean, and to be honest, this whole thing, I get it, that people... You can use each other for a personal gain. But to say that 95% of the relationships are like that... No.
How does a pimp function, Lonnie? How does a pimp function?
I don't know. You tell me. I don't understand that stuff.
Pimps function by letting the women do the work, whatever
by
it
violence.
May be.
They beat the crap out of women and
not all of them are violent, but they absolutely control them, and most of them
yes.
are violent, but they absolutely
100%,
control them and they
and that's
collect
the point of this conversation.
And
we
they
are
collect
silent to that violence.
See, they collect the money from the women's work, though, don't they? So, you know, here we go. This is what goes on. I said that men are also not, you know, victims here all the time. There's very few men that are actually just straight up victims. But the thing is,
this. Women, I do see a lot of women trying to get things from men that are unreasonable. I agree with you there. I see women in a lot of situations that are just, like, outrageous. they should just, if they have children together, they, honestly, I've seen this many times, the women demand a lot from the men just because they can. But I've seen that the other way around, where the woman was the breadwinner. Whoever's the breadwinner, you better expect to pay the bill.
Oh, yeah, but even in the case where you got female breadwinners, how many of them go to jail for child support?
Well, how many men go to jail? They just get their wages garnished, right? They don't mess around with getting out of jail anymore. They just take your money. Like, you're not going to earn money if you're a deadbeat dad. They're going to take your money.
They still lock you up. No, Lonnie, okay. No. I absolutely refuse to let you put that anywhere. That is false, absolutely false.
So men do go to jail?
If you become in arrears.
I guess it depends on the state. I guess it depends on the state, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've talked to guys in at least 25 states where this holds true. So I will say that at least half of the country, I can verify it. You get a certain amount behind. In some states, it's $800. In some states, it's $500. In some states, it's $1,000. You are automatically subject to a warrant for arrest, and you will be placed in a cell until such time as you pay an amount, okay, which is either deemed to be a purge or the entire amount, and the purge amount is determined by a judge through an administrative hearing. You will sit in a jail cell for 1 week. If this causes you to lose your job, your problem. This causes you to not be able to make your money, your problem. You come up and you don't have any money and they do let you go on an administrative leave. Sometimes it's for 10 days, sometimes it's for 30. They lock you up again. That is the reality of that. And I'm going to tell you now, go ahead and try and find women that are in that cycle anywhere in the United States. You will not find it. Okay?
Well, you know what? According to Nolo Press, which is a really good, well-known self-help legal place that you can go to get good sound support, it says jail time, to avoid jail time, if you do owe child support, you have to go and talk to the court and say, I need to fix this, because you can't let it get into arrears. Because this is in states, you can't go to jail.
Oh, yeah.
They will put you in jail.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking out of experience and interaction. I'm not making it up. This is the reality of it.
But Chuck,
but
our
fine.
Conversation is saying the same thing in a way, in a deep way.
That's where I'm going after this. What's happened is, regardless of how, you know, viscerally you want to view it, there is an absolutely disingenuous and decoupled from reality view of men and women. We don't know who we are any longer, and this is the confusion that, like I said, has been there my entire life, being born in, 1972, I told you the early 70s, but being born in 1972, I've got to tell you that post-height of the ERA movement and, the women's lib movement, as they called it, and everything else, I've got to tell you that as a male, you don't know what to do or what your role is. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you spend a lot of time being demonized.
Mm-hmm.
Because even we do have a bit of a rape culture, and I don't deny that, it doesn't mean that everyone with the equipment to do so is a rapist, okay? It doesn't mean that everybody wants to be the dominator. Mm-hmm. I've never sought to be a dominant force, okay?
Well, you know what's also more demonized? Men who are battered are so petrified anybody will find out. I think it is something men, there's about, they say the shelters, they estimate at least 20% of males that are in relationships are being seriously battered. But
I'll tell you,
this is a sad thing. It's part of this whole secrecy of keeping people quiet. You're exactly right, of manipulating people.
Well, let's get into the secrecy a bit, because I'll tell you again, personal experience. You know what? I've actually called the police back when I wasn't so awake, and nowadays I would not call them unless the entire town was in chaos, and then probably still wouldn't call them. I really don't believe in calling the police in, but back when I did, I was in kind of a relationship where I got knocked around a bit. Now, I was in a bad position because I didn't want to knock this woman the hell out, quite honestly, because that was one of those things I was taught never to do.
Why didn't you call the police?
Yeah, I did. And here's what happened. They showed up, even though I'm the only one with a mark on my face. She makes a claim. The police officer's trying to tell me that he believes me, but he's going to have to lock me up if I don't leave. That's what you deal with in the state of New Jersey,
by the way. Did they just let you leave, though? Were you allowed to leave, or did they arrest you?
I had like decide now and you can get a couple of things, we will escort you out and
right.
you can
go
leave
right
the property.
Now. Yeah, you're leaving. Get your stuff
yeah.
and let's go.
And if I don't, then uh-huh. you can leave in cuffs. Meanwhile, I was the one who was assaulted. Lying.
Right. Yes.
You know?
And I mean, but you know what, this is what I mean. Like, we really have created a culture here that is not it's antithetical to living to life. No wonder we have a country that has all these mixed up souls. Like you said, you were born in 70s and you're kind of lost. Like, what do you do? Where do we, you know, which side is which? And we're all trying. That's what I said earlier. Look at which side of the wall you want to pick on. All of a sudden we're like, what? But you know, the good part is there really is a big, beautiful, great world out there, and human beings are awesome. If we put our minds to it, I really think that we can actually salvage humanity.
Well, if we know who we are. See,
and,
that's the
and
thing.
Maybe even our planet.
I am hopeful in that way, too. But I say again, if we know who we are, Lonnie, you know, like
you
I
know
say,
what?
I think a lot of this stuff moving forward with the different, you know, social movements and everything has, like I said, kept people so far away from their own natural talents and gifts. And women are unique. They have gifts in general that men don't have. Very simple, and it's not just about, oh, they can carry babies, and they have a higher tolerance for pain. I mean, that's a physiological fact just about, as far as I'm concerned, from what I've witnessed anyway. But outside of that, I will tell you that that there are a lot of things that women just simply do better. And I'm not talking about just domesticated things. I think women are much more empathetic. I think that they're much more flexible, you know, psychologically and emotionally than men are. And generally speaking, it doesn't mean that you can't be an extremely highly emotional and flexible male to the point of, and I'm not even saying that you can't. What I'm saying is that generally speaking, you can make these general assumptions because they are there as natural gifts given to you, just very much like the ability to bear children, which is a gift. And just like the male is gifted with other things that are generally true. Doesn't mean that every man is strong. Doesn't mean that women are weak. It simply means that we are different. And I think those differences need to be embraced and understood better by the people that, you know, first of all, are experiencing them, but also by their counterparts. I think that the fact that we don't appreciate each other and that we don't really truthfully get together with one another, you know, under, you know, less, it's so disingenuous the way people do it at this point. That, you know, unless we do it with some legitimacy, with some honesty, with some, you know,
well,
actual love.
I don't know
love.
What you mean by that, disingenuously. Like, what do you mean by that, disingenuously?
Well, people engage in relationships for a lot of different reasons. If you notice, posthumously, a lot of times they tell you, well, look, this is the reason why I was really around this person. This is the reason why I let this person into my family. And I'm not even just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about all sorts. You know, well, I'm just kind of friends with this person because. I'm just letting them near my family because.
Oh,
you know,
well, I don't do that.
Well, but how many people have you heard begin to make that statement? You know, people that seem to mean well even will tell you that they had some ulterior motive for engaging in a relationship of any kind. You know, this is the thing. We need to start getting more honest.
Well, I think people are looking for love. That's the ulterior motive, is what they're looking for is love. They want to build a bond. A lot of times people let that person in because they want a bond with someone. They've, you know, humans need to have, like, little clusters of people. Family is very important. And we have indeed broken up the family thing. I mean, I drove an hour and a half to see my kids, to my grandkids and my daughter today, and my son-in-law's, and drove back. And I think it's really important. I go and see my grandkids at least every 3 weeks. They're busy. They just had their fourth child. God bless them. Now, there's a woman who knows. I mean, she gives birth in 4.5 hours. Boom. But you know what? They're kind of strict parents, to be honest. Like, their kids are well-behaved. They are homeschooled, but they do go to farm school where they learn their science and math. It's pretty interesting what they're learning. And I mean, we're in Oregon, so there's a lot of homeschoolers. It's not that unusual.
No, and a lot of complex things can be taught to somebody. You know, people go, oh, look, it's, you know, agricultural. Well, listen, you got to have a rudimentary understanding of the seasons. You know, what do we call that there?
Well, they also
meteorology. Meteorology, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are various measurements that one must take in order to be agriculturally, you know, adept. There are different things like about the quality of water and, you know, and scientific studies that must be understood mm-hmm. in order for you to really psychologically be able to handle farming on any sort of scale. So, no, I wouldn't think that that was anything lesser. In fact, that's a high skill as far as I'm concerned.
Part of my grandson's math is like learning how to do the farm, like how to make the, you know, earlier on. That's part of what the early learning is about. It gets much more, like, it's interesting, the whole, I never even heard of it. That's the interesting thing about living out here. But these are families that want to allow their children to be who they are instead of sticking them in the same routine. Do you know what I mean? It does take time. It does take effort. And that is, I mean, in lots of ways, I get what you meant about being used, but it's not just women with men. It's also men. That's the whole thing of the get ahead. Prosperity Christianity, to be honest, that kind of turned me off from Christianity because I'm like, that. How can that make sense when you're willing to take in a couple $1 million a year and your people at the bottom end are sending you $50 when they're, or $35 out of $600 a month? You know what I'm saying? Like, that just stuck in my craw.
Well, there's a whole lot of that going on. But look,
it comes from this same thing. It's the same. It's at the core of what we're talking about, this whole mixed up of who are we really?
Well, because it's a bunch of dishonesty, and it's been encouraged, like I said, by social programming. Let's go back to the example of these.
Manhattan Project also. The Manhattan Project demanded, think of all the cities, Niagara Falls, St. Louis, I think Santa Fe, right, and then Hanford, and Los Alamos also, and then the one on New York. That's like 6 or 7 facilities across the country where masses of people were working for the government in these super secret things, and they had to live a secret life. It's so weird to think about how this whole thing, we're not going to talk about it, it's sort of eating at the root of what's happening with American culture. This is why, like, I appreciate us taking this time to have the conversation and really having the ability to discuss it.
But see, look, you passed by part of the solution right there. You're talking about these unconventional school systems and the fact that, you know, the government re-education camps turn out nothing but more of the same cookie cutter. In communities, let's remember communities here for a moment. In communities, what you used to do is collectively get people together and teach them the skills that were relevant to that community, along with their ability to communicate with one another, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, right, all that. Okay, well, you know, they used to also do that in communities on their own. Now, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be funding. I'm saying that that these things are lost on this, you know, Common Core nonsense and social programming because, you know, God help you, you use pronouns. We taught you about pronouns in second grade, but be very careful about when you apply them now.
Do you know when I go to college in a lot of my classes, when we introduce ourselves in my college classes, you're supposed to say what pronoun you want to be called. He, she, or they. So you're supposed to remember if someone, and it's tricky. Do you know how to, you know, instead of saying, oh, she wants to go, you say they want to go. Oh, that's theirs, not that's hers. And I'm like, I get all mixed up. A really good friend of mine is transgendered, and I've known her for a long time, but a lot of times I say him to her. And I don't, when we're out socially, I always refer to her as her socially, but to him directly, I'll say him. It's kind of a weird thing. Our brains get mixed up.
Well, and it's kind of easy to do when you were taught the old way. But what I'm saying is that I don't think any of it is very productive at this point, you know, to sit there and wring your hands over
what's
what.
That's what we decided. She doesn't care. Like, you know what? The fact is, I accept her as she is. It's their life. They can do whatever they want to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel about it. I mean, that's a heavy burden to carry, in my view.
Well, let me ask you this. If I was referencing your show somewhere, maybe I hadn't listened to it too much, but I was referencing your show somewhere and I read about something and I said Lonnie Clark. Now, Lonnie could be a guy. And I said he has a good show over there on UCY. I mean, you might send me a little message that says I'm actually a she, haha. But that might be about the extent of it. It's not like a federal case you're going to bring against me for it, because really, I mean, if people call me a she,
I don't mind if people think I'm a guy, because then they'll listen.
Now, I don't feel that way, because that's why women are always best, especially, here's a joke for you, women are always best during those drug commercials, because when they tell you, you know, that you might bleed from different openings in your body and you might die from taking this medication, I don't know, it's a little more comforting to hear a female voice give it as opposed to a guy who's like, may cause bleeding from various orifices and death.
It's the same thing with those little blue, the Viagra pills. I mean, all this long list of stuff it'll give you is really bad.
Right. Could cause a heart attack. Could cause, you know, explosive.
And it will. But they likely do if you continue to use it. It likely does. They're very dangerous drugs.
Thankfully, I'm not there. But
well, you know what? What happens is men go through Andromeda at about 40, and they become very much more sensitive to chemicals and pesticides in your food. So if you can, like, get a good non-organic diet, you can eat whatever you want, but just don't eat a lot of chemicals. Try to keep it to a limit and pesticides. Your hormones will stay balanced, and you won't suffer from any of that.
Well,
it's not the Mediterranean diet that works. It's the non-chemical, non-pesticide food that's working. That's the big difference.
Wouldn't that be best for all of us? I mean, I'm in my mid-40s, but I got to tell you, I wish I had known about the toxins and chemicals a lot earlier as to exactly how dangerous they really were.
Ask the people in Houston today. See what they're going to say. By the time this airs, we're going to start hearing about people getting sick from all the chemicals in the water and all the toxins that they do not legally have to tell anybody in Texas, because their lawmaker said that would be a burden on the company. So, no, they don't have to tell anybody what's in those things.
Lovely. Yeah, I really hate seeing what's happening there. But I got to say that I was a bit heartened by the fact that, and this is how part of this conversation started, by the way, is that I said I saw men in boats helping people, because that's what I saw. I don't deny that I'm sure there were women out there doing stuff too, but what the videos I got,
you know,
were
the
guys
going
out there and doing
it. Women are at home with the kids. Like all of those men, they were in their early 30s, 40s, 50s. They all had, I'm sure, teenage kids and family at home. And so you can't just leave your kids. I was thinking about it. You're right. There were some younger women and some older women there, but the bulk of them were men, able-bodied younger men. You know what I mean? From 30 to 50 on average, wouldn't you say?
Well, but again, you know, when you watch these guys piggybacking people out and wading through the horrific water, you know, whose back do you want to get on?
The women that just get carried away, they don't weigh enough. You need somebody who is top heavy, who is strong, and can take the current, and just the muck that they're going to have to walk through is disgusting.
No, right, which, you know, again, maybe men are better suited to walk through muck. Not saying it's a great talent, I'm just saying it is. But that's what I observed. That was the point of it.
On men's behalf. Women are just as capable of walking in muck as men.
Okay, if you say so, but I will just politely disagree. You know, but all of it comes around to one thing, and that is that I really feel as though if we got back to a more honest, you know, interaction with one another, secrecy would not be so easy to contain. You know, you can only keep things well compartmentalized because people are willing to do it. You can only keep secrets because people are willing to put up those, you know, prevarications to make sure that status quo maintains. If everybody has a solid connectivity in a community, nothing is going to happen in that community without the community's knowledge. Okay? If you have individuals who are responsible and feel as though, you know what, the people around me need to be warned about about a danger that is in their midst, they will do that if they understand that they have an obligation to do so. You know, if you get back to situational awareness and think of it in a larger scale, not just, you know, your own personal way of dealing with things and self-defense, but the self-defense of an entire area, you don't have to necessarily rely on the militarized police or the National Guard when a disaster happens, because if you're connected much better with one another, you will stand a much better chance of surviving anything, whether it's Mother Nature, a man-made disaster, maybe pushing back against these nonsensical things that people don't even realize are in their communities, like these nuclear power plants. You know, if people knew the realities and were better educated, do you think that they would have ever signed off on putting these things in their areas? Maybe some of them might have, because they were desperate enough for jobs, but I guarantee you a lot of them, if they were given the full sheet of realities to begin with, half of these plants wouldn't have been built right on top of populations in vulnerable areas. You know, like I told you on the one show, I lived in a place where we were, you know, gee, here's your pills in case the plant melts down, mailed to my house. You know, and I went, whoa, what the hell is this? You know, and the siren testing in my town, just in case the plant has a problem, blaring siren that is deafening across the entire, you know, area. Wonderful. Why do we need that stuff? Well, maybe if somebody had told the community about it in the first place, if somebody had really educated them about how this really worked and didn't just tell them, oh, it's the clean alternative, you know, maybe that thing wouldn't be there in the first place, Lonnie. I don't know. But this is my supposition and my opinions. Of course, like you said, you have a lot of disagreements with them, and you don't like the harshness of the use of the word prostitute. But, you know, prostitute does not necessarily say male or female either. Let us remember that individuals who can be paid to utilize their skills, see, here we go, can utilize their skills for, oh, I don't know, a disingenuous reason, can be categorized as prostitutes. So, you know, maybe there's some male prostitutes out there that are being well paid to provide whatever service that may be, even if it's arm candy themselves. There we go. There's a reversal for you. You know, good-looking younger man goes with older woman who's got more money because, well, she's got the money.
So that is exactly what happened to me. And you know what happened? As soon as the green card came, him and the two kids left.
Yep.
And you know what? The law said to me, you thought you had a real marriage, so no, we're not going to. You can get an attorney if you want to revoke the green cards. But I'd already put in like $28,000. I believed it was real 100%.
Hmm.
I mean, 100%. I really believed it was real. The kids did too, actually, to tell you the truth. But near the end, the daughter told me. They tried to tell me. I just didn't believe them. I did not believe them. I couldn't. I thought we just didn't. My Spanish was very broken. I thought I didn't really understand them.
See, the dishonesty, though, is the thing that was the destructive element, wasn't it?
Well, the good part, yes. But you know what? It for me personally, I'm glad it happened. Because it really was like, this is what I've learned about the school of life. God is really merciful. You don't ever fail at the school of God. You just take the lesson over, but every time the lesson gets harder. So how much more are you going to take until you really learn the lesson? That's I think, you know.
That's a great point. But I think the general cap on this entire situation is that we should encourage each other to be more forthright and more honest and seek that from others. I really do feel that way, and that's one of the big disappointments. That combined with this idea that for some reason in every equation there is a need for someone to dominate someone else. Like, this is how you succeed. This is how you thrive. This is how you survive, is your ability to dominate and take advantage of someone else. I really wish if there was one thing I could remove from the human condition, it is exactly this, because it would literally cure everything else. There would be no concept, no requirement for war. There would be no more of these assaults or needs to brutalize one another. There would be no more of these, you know, deviant, you know, subsets of human, of subhuman beings, and that's what I'll call them, that, you know, prey upon children. Okay, that prey upon children, I was trying to say, there would be none of this. without this part of the human condition that is somehow being encouraged by it all, that says in order to survive, thrive, enjoy anything, you have to be dominant over something else. That's what kills me, and that's the twisted part of the psychology that I wish I could absolutely extract from the human condition, because it would cure everything as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it doesn't mean that you won't occasionally have some aberration come out and be the destructive force as an individual, but you'll very quickly catch on to it if people got rid of that, if people were more connected to one another. These people would never be able to thrive and have multiple crimes to their resumes, et cetera. And I do mean that across the board. Again, without a need to dominate and to destroy others, this would be the thing.
Do you belong to a community, group or anything? Do you go to community meetings? Do you know your neighbors? Have you started a community outreach? Are you part of a community outreach?
I've only lived where I've lived for a short time, but I do know my neighbors.
That's good.
You know, which, if you ask most people, they'll tell you no. They have no idea.
I know mine. Well, here, that's the one thing about living in Eugene. It is small. It's a small city. I'm from Los Angeles, where really the neighbors looked at you like you were crazy if you wanted to get to know them. Like, to be honest, they're like, what? No. So we have about 8 minutes left before the end of the interview. I thought I'd let you know. It's 7 minutes now. Exactly.
Well, you know, that's great. Look, if we've done nothing else, we've gone back and forth and batted the ideas around. I don't think we've solved anything necessarily, but I've got to tell you that these are things that must be considered if we're going to begin to fix anything.
What do you think about the name calling? On all sides. I can't stand it. What do you think of that?
I was going to say, which name calling from where? I mean, it seems to be...
All of it, you know. And to be honest, I'm going to reserve the right to call him Traitor Trump, because that's not name calling. I think he's a traitor, and I refuse to call him president.
I call him Agent Orange, but,
calling. See, I sort of object to the name calling. Because you're objectifying him. His crimes are worth him getting looked at. He has really been egregious. He's the wrecking ball cabinet. You think this thing in Houston, it's going to be run, but it's not going to be efficient. They have already set in motion. They've already unemployed a lot of people. Even if they hired him back, it's going to be picking the system back up. It looks good right now, but it's not going to be fun.
Well, no, look, I have taken a lot of flack for not jumping on the Trump train, okay?
I bet you did in your state.
Well, it's not just my state. You want to be honest. I mean, I'm shocked, actually, that you're somebody who regularly participates in independent media that's not been hounded by the Trumpets yet. And I will call names here. I don't have a problem with name calling. I'm from the Northeast. Name calling is...
So you guys think it's important to name call.
You got it. So, you know, I call
okay,
them Trumpets.
Okay, so I'll do my accents while we can name call.
Yeah, go ahead. Look, I'm also Sicilian Irish. So, you know, two chips on each shoulder. There you go. There's my racialist comment for the moment.
So you know why it is? It's why I don't get hounded is because actually... I don't deny the big picture. Like, I don't know. It's what I mean. This is the thing. We can look at... It feels like whatever part you're looking at, it's the most important thing that we need to fix. Because we've got, like... It's so unbelievable, isn't it, Chuck? When we open up our eyes and go, say what? Like, what? And what? 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 You know what I mean? For me, since Fukushima happened, it's been 5 years of me going... I mean... When they stole the election in 2000 and enrolled in the Unpatriot Act, that's when I knew we were in big trouble. That's when I really started waking up and paying attention, doing a lot of my... I watch C-SPAN like an avidly, even still to this day, I watch C-SPAN, all three of them. I think it's important to watch it because that's where you see the real hearings, you see the real people talking, you can see the personalities, and you can see the freaking games going on in Congress right now. Like, when they come back, C-SPAN is the thing to watch because they have the hearings and you can hear what they actually say. It's very interesting and to follow all this stuff because it affects our lives, and these things are serious, what's coming up.
No, I agree with you. The other thing to do, though, is to actually read the legislation and don't just listen to the talking points. I know it's difficult. And when we were looking at something like Obamacare, yeah, that sucker was almost as tall as me if you printed it out on paper.
But you could read a summary of it. And if you read the summary, you went, it sucks.
It's like
the summary of H.R. 3053. You know, you remember, I think I told you about this, the Nuclear Waste Policy Amendment Act of 2017. They want to privatize the nuclear waste, take away environmental impact reports for transporting nuclear waste through anywhere, start paying nuclear facilities who say they're going to take our waste without them actually having it. Hopefully you'll call your congressperson and say, please don't vote for that. 3053. I'm really serious. This is a big one. Because imagine now that they could have, we're going to have dirty bombs with this crazy Korean guy testing hydrogen bombs. We're going to have nuclear waste in the hands of private contractors without government oversight. Yes, it's in private contractors' hands now, but that's because they know the government's looking over them. They're not going to get, they keep track of all of it. But what if the government didn't have to keep track of it? And we don't know what Kim Jong-un is having or what he's getting and where he's getting it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
A very big, important bill to stop. And I hope that, I mean, we've got 2 minutes left. Sorry to keep talking. And I want to thank you, though, for coming on and talking about this. I hope we'll come back and, because I think we're really close on a lot of the ideas. I just get a little hyper-emotional over the term of prostitute, because there's another word that you can use, because prostitution is a triggering word, because a lot of young girls get dragged into that at an early age, and they get arrested for nothing when they've been dragged into it, and it's still on their record.
No, look, it's a complex issue, but I definitely use the word for the specific point of triggering somebody.
But the second meaning of it, the untrusty or corrupt use of one's talent for the sake of personal gain or financial gain. That's kind of just like Trump. Traitor Trump.
Well, of course it is.
He's done.
Of course it is. What are we talking? Listen, I said the whole society is engaged in a systematic game of prostitution. It's not just women. Okay, there are plenty of people out there that are going.
Let's straighten the ship out. Just stop. Let's just stop doing it. Look, you've been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. I want to thank our listeners from KEPW.org. We have less than 2 minutes left. I would encourage everyone to go to Chuck's website, Ocelli.com, where you can hear his show, The Ocelli Effect. Put your courage feet on, you guys. We'll talk with you shortly. Take care. You've been listening to Lonnie Clark and the Age of Fission radio show. Find our podcast on our website, ucy.tv/AOF, or on our YouTube channel, UCY TV Age of Fission, where live podcasts of our show are posted within an hour after our show ends. We want to thank our affiliate in Eugene, Oregon, who rebroadcasts our show on their station, KEPW.org, www.kepw.org. We especially want to thank them for also carrying Libby Halevi's Nuclear Hot Seat, which airs on UCY.tv every Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Your support of our station is greatly appreciated. UCY.tv is a listener-sponsored station that relies on your engagement to continue to grow. Contributions to UCY.tv can be made on our website, www.ucy.tv, and clicking on the donate button. Go to kepw.org for instructions on contributing to their efforts. Thanks again for listening to UCY.tv and the Age of Fission radio show. It takes more than a village. It takes every person who cares about our future. It is up to us, and we are up to the task. Put your courage feet on and take action.
Hey, this is JJ Inc., and when I'm on planet Earth, I listen to you.